Hey, everybody. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this podcast from Forest City North Church. We're a church in London, Ontario. And our hope is that this message that you're listening to will have an impact on your life. I encourage you to grab a coffee, make yourself a tea, sit back, and enjoy this message.
Good morning. My name is David, and I'm super excited to be here. Right Side Up series. We are in this. I believe this is our third weekend, and I'm excited that I get to be in here today with you guys having the conversation. What we've been doing is going through the book of Philippians in the Bible. We've been journeying through this book of Philippians. It's written by a guy named Paul to a church in Philippi, and his main goal for this book is to help followers of Jesus see that there's an attitude and a focus on life that they need to have. So our main goal and key theme to this series is to help people in this space realize that there's another way to live in life, this right side up life. The main theme of this book we've noticed is, and it's been mentioned 16 times, is this word of joy. This word of joy arises in this book 16 times. And Paul talks about if we can allow these qualities that he is writing about and what we're talking about here on Sunday mornings and put them into action in our life, we can actually have our lives marked with joy. So today I'd like to have the conversation, like it's been said earlier, on the word humility. But before we get into there, I just want to let you know, when I first got this email to join you guys on Sunday morning, I just replied yes. I didn't read the whole email. I kind of set myself up for some failure, to be honest. Ron's my dad. And so when he sent this email, I said, yes, absolutely. I want to be here on Sunday morning. I want to dive into this and have fun with it. What I didn't do was read the whole email and see the topic. That's where I set myself up. What I did was I checked my calendar, because now that I'm married, I have a calendar. It's beautiful. Marriage comes with more than just rings and love. It's calendars, and it's absolutely amazing. But I checked my calendar. I said, yeah, I got nothing else. So I replied, I am in. And a couple weeks later, Ron was with me, and he goes, did you see the topic I gave you? A couple weeks later, I had finally read the email. And I said, yeah, humility. It's such an interesting topic and a great quality to have in life. We need to have it. A lot more people need it. And he responded like this. There's a reason why I gave it to you. You have a hard time with it. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. A dad joke. And I've been praying all week that you guys would not laugh at that dad joke. I'll be honest. We cannot let him think he's funny, because he's not. But that's the thing. I was like, I started listing off things that I had done for him and mom. And no, I didn't do that. But this dad joke had me think. It wasn't because the punchline was so hard. It was because the punchline had meaning. Humility. You have a hard time with it. I sat down and started writing, and I thought of what this word meant to me and what it could mean for all of us today. And I started looking at it, and I looked at where did this word come from? And it comes from the Latin word humilitas, which may be translated as humble, grounded, and from the earth. I thought that was pretty interesting. I'm like, oh, I speak English, so what's English mean? And the definition of humility in the English language is having a low view of one's own importance. So from first glance, I got this view and this common theme of being invested in someone else and not always looking towards your own doing. That's what I got from it. So today I'd love to have the conversation about humility from this book of Philippians that Paul writes. But before I dive into the verses, I want to let you know, I feel and believe strongly that this is a crucial way to mark our lives with joy, to have humility walking in through our lives. So join me reading Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Paul says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. When I first read these few verses, I saw how powerful they were. But what I noticed was we've kind of been taught the total opposite. Our culture has taught us something total polar opposite. It teaches us if you don't think about yourself or you are number one, you're not going to make it in the eyes of others. You're not going to get ahead in life. It's quite damaging. that view and outlook on life. And I know I'm making a very general statement because I know there's organizations and people that just give, 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 and it's amazing to see. But this is a general statement about how we act in our culture. It's about me. You are number one. I'm number one in my mentality. What do we do to get ourselves ahead? How can we make ourselves look better in the eyes of others? When I look at our culture, I'm actually quite amazed by the things that do ooze with selfishness. Now, don't get me wrong. This talk has made me look at my own life. And it's crazy to think and see how selfish I can be as an individual. This talk has rocked my world about this topic of humility. I look at my social media, and yes, it's got my name on it, and yes, it's got all of our names on it if you have social media, but there's something wrong with everything revolving around you on that. Just take a second. Look at your social media. Think about your Facebook, your Twitter, your Instagram. If you're still on MySpace, I'm praying for you like crazy. You are welcomed in this place, but I just get along with the times here. Check your Facebook, your Instagram, your Twitter. There's something wrong about the selfishness. And when was the last time you saw yourself or someone else post something that didn't revolve around you? Didn't revolve around you, the you post. When I think of this number one, you are number one mentality, I get this visual. So just join me in this. I get this visual of how we love taking pictures. We're captured by taking pictures of what we are doing, saying, traveling, eating, the perfect selfie. And what I see is we're not captured by the pictures. We're captured by selfishness. We're in the grips of selfishness. That's the visual I see. It's not us behind the camera. It's the selfishness of the mentality of what we're doing with the camera. This mindset is so damaging to each and every one of us. It's because it's teaching us to primarily focus on the interests that focus on us, our own interests. It's not putting the interest of others first, like Paul says in verse 4. He says, don't look out for your own interests, but take interest in others too. Take interest. I love that word. Paul uses take interest in others. I believe this take interest is an attitude we need to have towards others when we see their needs. And their needs can be all sorts of things. It can be their thoughts, their hopes, their dreams, the wealth, the health, and even the happiness. Even their happiness. This word take, I absolutely love it. I love this word take. And I want to ask you, what does this word take mean for us today? What can it mean? And I believe taking interest means asking someone their beliefs and putting yours aside. Putting your beliefs aside. Allow them to speak. Taking interest means asking someone's story and fighting the urge to tell yours. So hard. So hard. Taking interest means learning to listen. Learning to listen. A little fun action step I thought about this word, take interest, is how can we take one of these three things and apply it to our lives this week at lunch or during the week sometime? Put this into action, the take interest. And when people see this take interest, they're not going to see the selfishness that lays behind it. They're going to be like, why didn't they put their story after mine? They're going to be thinking, wow. They're going to see the genuine love and care you have for them. They're going to see that. They're going to see someone doing an act of kindness that they probably wouldn't see on the news, social media, the TV, whatever they get to see the world. They're going to see that kindness from you in person and be on the receiving act of caring and feeling valued. Valued. I'll be honest. When I heard this word, take interest, I thought, what about me? And you may be thinking that. What about me? What about my life, my interests, my needs? I got to do me too. Paul, what are you saying in this? Why are you telling me to only focus on them? And I don't believe he's actually just saying that. Hearing these words, I believe he's actually saying, look at yourself, analyze yourself. Look at your needs, because if you don't focus on your needs are going to become very toxic when you're trying to just get the, you owe me one. You owe me one. You can't have that mindset of you owe me one when you're trying to take care of others' interests. You need to focus on yourself as well. Take the self-help care as well. Don't avoid caring for your own needs. And don't look out for the only you owe me one. We are to put the needs of others before our own with this humbling act and selfless attitude towards them and others. I love Eugene Peterson and his translation in the Message about these verses that Paul has for us. He says, "Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand." I want to ask you, sit back in your chairs right now and think, is your schedule so big and large that you can't lend that helping hand? Are you at work and you see another coworker struggling in the crunch time of reports or whatever it is, and you don't have enough time to just ask them, "Hey, do you need some help?" Is your schedule too big for that? Are you a student here today and you see a classmate in school, math, geography, whatever it is, and they cannot wrap their heads around a topic and they're at the wit's end and you have no time to say, "Hey, here's some simple steps to try to figure it out and join the path of understanding"? Rethink this idea of being captured by the grips of selfishness. And are you willing to start capturing different moments? Moments of humility, love, care, making people feel valued. Are you willing to carry those capturing moments with you? With the series being called Right Side Up, and like I said at the beginning, our main goal is to help people find a way of focusing and living a different way. And I think this morning what we need to do is to dive into the number one act of humility in the Bible, and it's the life of Jesus. And I want to take us to a story where Jesus is at the Last Supper, and it comes from John chapter 13. And he's with all his disciples, and they're having a meal together. And it comes from John chapter 13, verses 3 to 5, and he says this: "Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around them." Picture this. Jesus, who was sent by God, who is fully God, stands up in the midst of this meal, grabs a towel, water, gets down on both knees, and starts washing the feet of these men one by one. One by one. I want you to consider this for a minute. John makes it very clear. He makes it very clear for who Jesus was and is for us today. He says he was given authority by the Father. He's an amazing teacher. He could have used the powerful words in this moment, stood up and said, "You need to start living right side up. Come on, guys, pick up your feet. Start washing each other's feet." He could have used this powerful moment to use powerful words. But no, John records him noticing that he is taking interest in others on himself with the actions. Not just words, the actions of taking interest in others on himself. Now, in this day, what you need to know is what's so powerful about the feet washing is when you came to someone's home, a servant would wash your feet. A servant would wash your feet. And this servanthood inside a home was seen as the number one lowest act possible in the home. You did not want to be washing these guys' feet. They were gross. But this is what Jesus did. He cleaned the feet of these men. He stood up in the chaos of this meal, in this intimate meal. They would lay together on the ground, have a very intimate meal. They didn't have the shoes, the socks, the tables to hide their feet. So they would wash their feet in this intimate moment. Jesus stands up, gets a robe, water on his knees, and becomes a servant to these men. And after he's done, he says these powerful words, John chapter 13, verse 14. "And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet." Each other's feet. Here's the thing. For a person of faith, Jesus is the number one central figure to the Christian faith. We are told as Christians and as people, as followers of Jesus, to live a lot like Jesus. Be the best person you can like Jesus. But he gives us the path to follow. He is God, but yet he washed the feet of these men, their interests on him. To take interest on others by washing their feet. It's not about always washing the feet of others. I don't want you to leave here and just start washing the feet of everyone. That would be crazy. But it's the posture that Jesus has in this life. The posture of getting up, taking interest in others. The posture of that. Standing up and taking interest as an action. I want to ask you, can you see those moments in your life? Do you see the posture of this in your life? Do you have that? Maybe you have moments, maybe you go through dry spells with this, but do you have, or are you willing to also start making those moments more reoccurring? Do you have the posture like Jesus in this moment? I want to take us back to this, the Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, but Paul goes on to speak about the power of these, this act of humility that Jesus has in this letter. And he writes in chapter 2, verses 6 to 8, he goes, though he was God, who is Jesus, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took on the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being when he appeared in human form. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death upon a cross. His act of humility here took him down the path to the cross to pay our sin, to turn our lives right side up with God, taking our interest, our shame, our guilt, to transition us with the right side up to God. On this cross, that's what he did, down that path of washing these guys' feet. Here's the thing that strikes me so hard about humility. It strikes me so incredibly. Humility is putting others ahead of your own interest. Sounds simple. Start thinking like that. But it really comes down to how you see yourself and how you see others. Humility, how you see yourself and how you see others. If we only see ourselves to get ahead or get the you owe me one and put ourselves in a position of someday you'll ask for the return favor, we've got it all wrong. We've got it all wrong. We are still captured by selfishness if we still have that mentality and attitude towards it. We've got it all wrong. Paul and the life of Jesus help us see that the right side up living, it says, I value others more than my own life, the comfortability and popularity in this world. I will live my life in a way when someone walks away from me, they will feel and they will know that I care for them, I value them, and they will feel filled up. Living a life of faith right side up will put others first because that's what Jesus did. Walking the path towards the cross of our guilt and shame and sin away from us, taking it away from us, and walking the path and showing the number one act of humility for us today. Our title of our conversation today is Attitude Adjustment. And I want to ask you, will you do what I have had to do writing this talk? Really check the attitude at the door and notice that maybe, yep, I got to turn that dial and I got to adjust my attitude a little here. Because Paul says in this book that if we move in this way, if we act in this way, joy will mark our lives. If we can do this. So if you notice this today, or maybe you just want to start that now, maybe the simplest way of doing that attitude adjustment is saying a simple prayer about the right side up attitude, saying, God, empty me of me. Listen to this song.
If you can stand, just stand with me, would you please? First of all, thanks, Dave, for sharing that with us. It's very powerful, very good. Thank you for that. You know, he kind of joked about me giving him that topic and, you know, the, obviously the dad-son thing, but I wonder how many of us could look in the mirror and say, man, I need that adjustment. You know, in a day and age which is, we're so consumed with ourselves, studies are showing social media is creating a narcissistic society. And I'm not talking about using it in your business in a way that portrays who you are. And I've got a really good friend that's here this morning. She uses it so wisely in her business. But think about it just in general from the perspective of how you use just your life in general. Are you consumed with yourself, always looking out for number one? There's this beautiful image I have in my mind is that when we take the posture of humility like Jesus washing the disciples' feet, we become more like Jesus. He becomes formed in who we are. And the demonstration of who he is begins to flow from our lives so that those moments don't get pushed down the list. You know that list that we saw earlier? And how oftentimes things get pushed off and we recognize it. Maybe it's in those moments of those acts of humility that God calls us to and desires us to lean into. And when we do, we experience the life of being right side up in our faith. This morning, my hope and my prayer is that what you've experienced over this last 60 minutes will draw you closer to the life that God desires for you, no matter where you are in your faith journey. Maybe you're here this morning and this is your first time in church in a long time and you haven't really thought much about God. I pray that what has been said and experienced will speak right into where you are, or whether you're trying to sink the roots of your faith deeper, this is drawing you closer to better understand this. This letter is a powerful letter. If you've missed any of these conversations in the past few weeks, go on the app, find out what we've been talking about. Paige mentioned Christmas in the North Pole. That was brilliant, actually. It was awesome. Tickets are available right after the service, December 17th. One of the values that we have as a church is to be people who invite others. We've never wanted to be a church that just huddles amongst ourselves and said to have a big love in. We actually have a value of extending the grace and the goodness of Jesus to others, and so we have this value of inviting. This little tool, this little ticket is just that. This free ticket is just for you so that you can think of a friend or two in your life that you can invite. Maybe more than one or two. Think about someone and maybe pray through it and ask God who it is that he wants you to extend the invitation to. And there's something that I want you to think about, because so oftentimes when we think about the invitation to come to church or come to something like Christmas, we already answer for that person. You're not responsible for their answer. I believe that we're responsible to be the light of God in this world by just simply extending the invitation and allow them to respond the way they need to respond. And so after the service, go get your tickets for yourself and for people in your life. My wife and I, we've already been doing the invitation thing. We started a few weeks ago, texting our friends, messaging on Facebook, actually talking to them face to face. It's a really interesting thing when you do that, actually. It's hard to say no when you ask someone face to face. And I hope you will do the same thing. If you're on Facebook Live and you are thinking about coming to one of our services and you're not sure how to get tickets, just message us and we'll find a way to get you tickets. We'll mail them to you or whatever. Or someone will drop them off. I have no idea. I'm making this up literally on the fly for you on Facebook Live. But we'll have someone figure it out. But message us and we'd be happy to send you some tickets. Let's pray together. God, thank you for today. Thank you for this time together that we've been able to explore and dig into this thing called humility. God, thank you for the work that David did on this and that the work that you did in him. And I pray that we would ourselves reflect on these truths and to maybe adjust the dial a little bit on our attitude. God, help us to take interest in others this week. Maybe even this afternoon, to take on the challenge to ask somebody their story and fight the urge to share our own. Help us to walk this path of humility. Give us the strength and the courage. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see you next week.